Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here we are, Lord. I thought about ways to approach the ascension. And it's very interesting because as you look at this, I mean, Jesus takes the apostles to the mountain. He goes up in the air, blesses them, and leaves. Okay, leaves physically. And it is such a beautiful sight, especially with the blessing, and then he leaves. But there's a couple things in here that I think are really important. And the first one is he was with the apostles for 40 days. Now, we know that numbers in the Bible always have meanings. What does the number 40 signify? Say it again. They were there for 40 days. Well, 40 years, actually. Okay? But there's that number 40. Where else do we have 40 in the Bible? But? 40 days of rain. Noah, 40 days of rain. What else? After his baptism, what happened to Jesus? All right. So every time we see that number 40, all right, we had Noah's Ark, all the rain, okay? We had Jesus being tested by Satan. We had, as Marlene brought up, the traveling in the wilderness for 40 years. There's always a trial and a test associated with the number 40. Well, does Jesus need to be tested? Who needs to be tested? The apostles. So why do they need to be tested? Did the apostles have trouble understanding the whole idea of the crucifixion and the resurrection? Of course they did. And we haven't seen the day of Pentecost yet, have we? Look at the gospel lesson with us, and I'm going to read the first part. And then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you." But isn't he with them now? But he's with them now as the Son of God, not the Son of Man. That everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Now here's the important verse. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Why did he have to do that? They didn't get it. One of the things about the apostles that I love, I mean, you look at the apostles, quite a few of them were fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector. You take a look at all this, they're not the top rings of society, are they? And they're like us. We are like them. And so the thing is, do we have trouble understanding the scriptures too? And at least we have them all written down. We come to Bible studies. We hear about them in church. But it doesn't mean it's any easier for us, does it? So the apostles had to have their hearts and minds open to understand the scriptures. And they still had trouble. Okay, Acts 15, a little bit further on in the Bible, we have the story of the First Jerusalem Council. First Jerusalem Council. Peter and Paul are out in Galatia. Galatia is western Turkey. I mean, they're a long ways away. They're 1,000 miles away from Rome, away from Jerusalem. And James, the brother of Jesus, who's the head of the Jerusalem church, is sending out missionaries. But yet, what does Paul call them? He's not nice about it, is he? The opponents. The false prophets. And there's one more that he does too, and right now I can't think about it. But here's the thing. He's not happy with them. Why? Well, because they were preaching that you had to be a Jew before you could be a Christian, so the men had to be circumcised. Can you imagine having that done as an adult without any painkiller? Oh, man. Heck with wine. Bring on the brandy. But the thing is, Peter started to backtrack and teach the same thing. So Paul, Peter, and Barnabas left Galatia. And they walked from Galatia to Jerusalem. And how far did I just say that was? 1,000 miles. How ticked off do you have to be to walk 1,000 miles? Pretty ticked off. So they get to Jerusalem, and all the apostles that are together, not only the 12, but all the rest of the apostles too. So they're all there. They have this meeting. And Peter stands up, or Paul stands up and shares everything that's been happening with them in Asia Minor. Remember in Asia Minor, it said, and he brought the news, the good news of Jesus Christ, to 1.5 million people. That's a lot of people to bring a message to, isn't it? All right, so he's talking about this. And then he addresses James. Now, how do we know all this? Well, we know that this happened in AD 50. Okay? And here's the other thing. The book of James was written from AD 49 to AD 51. Guess what happens in the middle of the time he was writing his book? This meeting. Okay, if you really read the book of James, works without faith without works is a dead faith. Chapter 2, books of James, right? And in some respects, he's right. So you're saved by works, faith through works, correct? Is what he's saying. Now we know from Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 that that's not the case. Okay, you're saved by grace through faith, right? So, we have this great big meeting. And finally, Peter stands up. And we know all this because it's Acts 15. It's been recorded for us. And it's called Peter's Confession. And he says, brothers, I was wrong. We have a new way of looking at things through Jesus Christ our Lord. We cannot force people to become Jews to do all this when Jesus never taught that. Guess who has a change of heart? James. And James says, okay, but I would like to see us keep things like the dietary laws and things like that. So it says they wrote a letter they sent out to all the churches. And they did suggest, it wasn't a command, they suggested that people still keep those. So, look at this for a second. Jesus says right here, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He opened Peter's mind to explain what Jesus was teaching to the rest of the apostles. Think about that for a second. So when I look at this, there's a miracle that happened that day. And when you read the book of James, everything after chapter 2 is saved by grace through faith. That's right. Think about that. Not to force. And remember, our whole thing is you don't have to do anything. You want to do something. And that's what's different, I think, about the way we look at the Bible. Because the thing is, how do you force anybody to do anything? Okay? Where does it come from? Within. So when Jesus took the apostles up on that mountain, and we have the ascension, the 40 days of trial were for the apostles. Well, don't we have that 40 days of trial too in our lives? I think so. How do we respond to trials? Well, but we learn. You know, one of the things that I've always taught, can you learn by doing things well? No. You learn from making mistakes. If you don't make a mistake, you don't learn. Did the apostles make mistakes? Did they learn? You know what? There's hope for us, isn't there? That's when I look at the stories like the Ascension. You know, and I have preached that, you know, they were there. Jesus went up into the sky. We'll meet him on the last day. Actually, our last hymn today is about the advent of the coming of Jesus. Why? Because what did the two witnesses say? He will come again. Right? I look at all these type of things. There's hope, isn't there? Remember in Advent, we have hope, joy, peace, and love. And to me, there's Christianity right there, isn't it? And what is that? Advent, the second coming of Jesus Christ. So, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he was letting us to go through kindergarten until we're ready for him to come back. Make sense? Are we learning? I hope so. I hope so. My friends, may this blessing that we receive from Jesus Christ our Lord keep our hearts and minds on him. Amen.